introduce His Holiness Smith Krishna Swami Maharaj. Maharaj is from Sweden and he joined ISKCON in 1970. And he met Srila Prabhupada in Germany. And that's where he received spiritual initiation from Prabhupada in 1971. In 1973, he moved back to Sweden. And with a group of devotees, he was preaching Krishna consciousness in Sweden. And he spent a few years distributing Srila Prabhupada books. Later, as he was serving as a pujari, Shri Radha Gandharvika Giridhari in Sweden, he accepted Vaishnav Sannyas in 1986 in Mayapur, and since 1988 he is initiating spiritual master. Maharaj is known for his very simple, simple-hearted nature, and also for his very enlightening classes based on his realizations. With a group of devotees in Sweden, they are running a farm community which is spread over 450 acres. And as his interest, as his mission, he likes to encourage devotees to take up farm communities and work on the concept of self-sufficiency and cow protection in ISKCON. So we are very grateful, Maharaj, that you have taken out time and you are sharing your realizations with us. We would like to welcome His Holiness Smith Krishna Swami Maharaj in a traditional style by loudly chanting three times. Hare Bol!
Hare
Bol!
Hare
Bol!
Hare Krishna! Hare Krishna. Thank you. Okay, we... Om Agnati Mirandasya Gyana Gyana Salakaya Shakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Nama Om Vishnu Praya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedante Swamiti Namine Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesa Sunyavari Paskachare Satarine Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svampadantikam Vandaham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Parakamalang Sri Gurun Vaishnavam Cha Sri Rupam Sagrayatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savarutam Paridyana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Paran Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakam Vitam Cha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinobandhu Jagatpate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavanishwari Vrishabhanu Sutta Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpatrubhyasha Kripa Sindhubhye Vacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Shiva Sri Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya So we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th canto, chapter 14, text 23. Kindly repeat. Katam Vina Romaharshanam Dravata Shetasa Vina 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 Nandasru Kalaya Sudyed Bhaktya Vinasaya Katam vina romo Katam vina roma harshanam Katam vina roma harshanam Dravata Shetasavina. Dravata Shetasavina. Vinan Vinanandasrukalaya. Vinanandasrukalaya. Sudyad Bhaktya Vinasaya. Sudyad Bhaktya Vinasana. Vinasana. Katam Vinaru Maharsham. Dravata Shetasa Vina. Vinananda Sru Kalaya. Sujed Bhaktya Vinasaya. Katam, how, Vina, without, Ramaharsham, standing of the hairs on end, Dhruvata, melted, Shetasa, heart, Vina, without. Okay. Vina. Without. Ananda. Of bliss. Asrukalaya. The flowing of tears. Sudyet. Can be purified. Bhaktya. Loving service. Vina, without. Asayaha, the consciousness. Translation. If one's hairs do not stand on end, how can the heart melt? And if the heart does not melt, how can tears of love flow from the eyes? If one does not cry in spiritual happiness, how can one render loving service to the Lord? And without such service, how can the consciousness be purified? Kindly repeat. If one hears do not stand on end, how can the heart melt? And if the heart does not melt, how can tears of love flow from the eyes? If one does not cry in spiritual happiness, how can one render loving service to the Lord? And without such service, how can the consciousness be purified? Purport. Loving service of the Lord is the only process that can completely purify one's consciousness. Such service produces waves of ecstatic love that completely cleanse the soul. As mentioned earlier by Lord Krishna to Sri Uddhava, other processes such as self-control, pious activities, mystic yoga, penances, etc., certainly purify the mind, as stated in many authorized literatures. Such processes, however, do not completely remove the desire to perform. Do not completely remove the desire to perform forbidden activities, but pure devotional service rendered in love of Godhead is so powerful that it burns to ashes any obstacle encountered on the path of progress. The Lord has stated in this chapter that loving service to Him is a blazing fire that burns to ashes all impediments. In contrast, the small fires of mental speculation or mystic yoga can be extinguished by sinful desires at any moment. Thus, by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, one should ignite the blazing fire of loving service to the Lord and burn to ashes the network of material illusion. ओमगनातिमरंदस्य गणगणसलकेय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः नमः ओं विष्णुप्राय कृष्णपृष्ठाभितरे श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्ते स्वामिनामने नमस्ते सरस्वतीदेवे गुरुवाणी प्रचारिणि विशेषस्य निवारि प्रस्कृत्यादि सत्तारि वर्स वास कथं विना रुमा हर्षं द्रावता शतसा विना विना ननन्द श्रु विना Nandasrukalaya Sudyad Bhaktya Vinasaya. If one's hairs do not stand on end, how can the heart melt? And if the heart does not melt, how can tears flow? Tears of love flow from the eyes. If one does not cry in spiritual happiness, how can one render loving service to the Lord? And without such service, how can the consciousness be purified? So here is questions put to us. The Lord is, we can say the Lord makes statements by making questions. So that's, you know, if your hair does not stand on end, how can the heart melt? Well, this is it. Where are we in our spiritual life? Yeah. Of course, what do we know what other devotees experience? Sometimes maybe some devotee asks, "Oh Maharaj, please tell what's something about your experience or your relationship to Krishna or something." But then usually I say, well, that's private. Whatever happens or does not happen, you can imagine something, but then maybe something is just farther plain. Whatever happens, it's between you and the Lord. Maybe you and your spiritual master, but it's not. It may not be known by others. So therefore, who do we know? How do we know? How do you know if someone's hair is standing on end? Well, you should know if your own hair is standing on end. That you will notice. And so the melting heart, being hard-hearted, is not good for our spiritual life. The thinking here is mentioned. Okay, and then he said, if the heart does not melt, how can tears of love flow from the eyes? So there's tears of love flowing from the eyes. But then a prerequisite for the ears to flow from the heart out of love is that the heart is soft. So Arjuna on the battlefield, he cried. Of course, Krishna didn't say, "Oh, wonderful, you're crying. You're making progress." He said, "Hey, where does this weakness come from? This does not behoove someone who is spiritually advanced or in an advanced position in society. You shouldn't be, soft-hearted, sentimental. We could say sentimental." But there in the purport to, I think that's the last verse in the first chapter, then Prabhupada says that, well, okay, on one hand, it's not expected from a kshatriya to start to cry on the battlefield over bodily relationships and they're possibly ending. He is fiercely going into the battle, killing or getting killed. And there Prabhupada said that such a kind and soft-hearted devotee or person is what it says in the purport. Such a kind and soft-hearted person is an eligible candidate for spiritual elevation. So he does put it together, the thing. That is, it's not totally bad if someone is a little bit soft-hearted and maybe crying in... Of course, we should say, well, it should be for out of love of Krishna. So Arjuna there, it wasn't really out of love of Krishna. It was his love for his family and his family, because it was a civil war. It was a family war. So he was feeling compassion and sad at the thought of all those who were dear to him, like Bhishma and Dronacharya, others. They were dear to him, so he didn't want to see them dead, so therefore he cried, and this Krishna didn't approve. He should be. But here Krishna says, how can tears of love flow from the eyes if your heart is not soft? So he approves of that. A soft-hearted devotee, a compassionate devotee. So one can feel reason to cry. I mean, as Arjuna in one sense, due to bodily relationships, bodily concerns. But here it's Krishna's, he's asking for tears of love. Okay, so we say, well, if you love someone, why you should cry? Why are you not happy? You should be in ecstasy, isn't it? Prabhu, dance, be happy, be ecstatic. Okay, so, but here Krishna says, no, in one sense, you should cry. But of course, for a different reason, we can say, separation from Krishna, or maybe from meeting Krishna. When usually we think that when we meet, you will become very happy. But in this case, in the case of meeting the Lord, it could also be that when you meet after a long separation, you may feel the pain of the separation. Because then you remember, and in any case, there's also the fear, now we meet, that's Radha and Krishna and the gopis. Now we meet, but soon we'll be separated again. So that's another reason to say, cry or lament, or there's a small lamentation in the heart, because the fear is there that the meeting will come to an end. You can't take it for granted That's one thing. We can't take it for granted that Krishna is there. That's another thing. Maybe there's times when Krishna reveals himself in one way, in small ways, in small drops to the devotees, and then he disappears. It's like Narada Muni, when he describes his previous lifetime. So he entered into ecstasy in previous lifetime. As a little young boy, he was traveling around after his mother's death. Having been initiated by the Bhaktivedantas, he was traveling as a sadhu, and he did a he was in the forest, and he took a dip in the river, took some water, made Ajman, sat down under a tree. I don't know if it really says under a tree, but it's in the forest. And then he enters into meditation, and then the Lord revealed himself to him, and the hairs stand on end, and he's very much touched. He's touched by the Lord. But then the Lord disappears. So then he thinks, that's interesting. Then he thinks, so then he was so anxious to see the Lord again, that he again did the same thing, the same procedure. If I just do this procedure, I will get this result. But it didn't work. Even though he did the same thing over again and over again and over again, the Lord would not reveal himself again, at least not in the same way. Until finally it said there that the Lord kindly told Narada Muni that, I'm sorry, you will not see me anymore in this lifetime. So then we can say that could be a reason for lamentation, because that's a reason, a lamentation or sadness due to separation from the Lord. But then the Lord says that, I just show me so that you will be more anxious to see me. So that way you will be more serious in your sadhana, in your spiritual practice. And then he says something that many times people that will take to devotional service, spiritual life, but they don't really take it so serious. So they don't really get anywhere. But I showed myself to you so that you would be more, you would get an impetus to be more determined in spiritual life. Okay, so there is the instant the Lord came, and then it was a great happiness, and then there is a cause of lamentation because he disappeared. Because we can take it that this verse describes devotional service as the highest platform or topmost level, where the devotee actually is fully absorbed and actually crying. The hair is actually standing on end, and there's actually tears from the eyes. And well, Krishna says, well, then he says, if one does not cry in spiritual happiness, okay, here, this feeling of the separation of the Lord is a spiritual happiness. It's a different side of spiritual happiness. So that may also mean that our concept, our beginning concept maybe, of what spiritual happiness is supposed to be, may not be totally accurate. And so that the Lord is actually, what did he say here? To cry in spiritual happiness. That's interesting. So we have to watch out if we see a devotee cry. Prabhu, don't cry. Leave it. Give a little bit of space. Maybe it's in spiritual happiness. And usually we connect crying with being sad. And of course, in that sadness, there could be a certain happiness.
Okay, spiritual happiness. To cry in spiritual happiness for Krishna. Cry in separation from Krishna. In the Shikshastaka, we recite every morning. It sounds like you recite in the morning. Many places they do like that before starting to chant your japa. Whether you are in the temple or not, you can always recite the Shikshastaka before you start your japa. Another one is, it's good to recite the 10 offenses also to keep it fresh and alive in your mind. But here in the Shikshastaka, Krishna, well, he's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He starts off enthusiastic bhakta, in a way. This is your holiness. Yes, glory to the Sri Krishna Samkirtan, which cleanses the heart of all the dust accumulated for years and extinguishes the fire of conditional life. There's all glories. He's happy, he's ecstatic. But then, already in the next verse, he says, your holy name can render all benediction to the living beings. And thus you have hundreds of millions of names, like Krishna and Govinda. In these transcendental names, you have invested your transcendental energies. There are not even hard and fast rules for chanting these names. Oh my Lord, out of kindness you enable us to easily approach you by your holy names. But I'm so unfortunate that I have no attraction for them. We can say, Lord Chaitanya immediately warms up. He enters, but there's a certain lamentation. Why don't I have any attraction for them? So that we could also say is the nature of the devotees, and usually they don't, Prabhupada said also, they don't say, oh, I've seen Krishna. They ask, oh, when will I see Krishna? Even the Goswamis in Vrindavan, they were roaming around looking for Krishna. Maybe they saw him now and then. Maybe they kept that secret or writing down. But the mood was not, oh, I have seen Krishna. I know what Krishna consciousness is. Yes, we know something, but maybe by the grace of Guru and Krishna. But the devotees are humble, thinking that there's so much more. Or they're coming so short, so there's so much more to come. Then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gives some practical instructions of verses, and then there's lamentation. Well, he says, I'm your eternal servitor, yet somehow or other I've fallen into the ocean of birth and death. Please pick me up from this ocean of death and place me as one of the atoms at your lotus feet. And then, Nayanam Galarasridaraya, Vadanam Gargararudaya Gira, Pulakaya Nishitam Vapurkada, Tavaname Grahane Bhavishati. Oh my Lord, when will my eyes be decorated with tears of love flowing constantly when I chant your holy name? When will my voice choke up? And when will the hairs of my body stand on end at the recitation of your name? Well, we can say this relates to this verse here. He's speaking about hair standing on end and the voice choking up. He says, but here's a point. Watch out. If you get too ecstatic, you can't chant because your voice choke up. Then maybe that's the nature of. Something said it also said that the coward boys were the fanning Krishna, and then they went into ecstasy or or the specific cowboy went into ecstasy with his fan, but then he kind of controlled himself so that in spite of the ecstasy he could perform his service of fanning the Lord. Well then, Yugayatam Nimeshena Shakshusha Pravisayatam Sunyayatam Degat Sarvam Govinda Virahename. O Govinda, feeling your separation, here Lord Chaitanya is feeling separation, so we can say there's tears coming out of love, coming in the feeling of the separation. I'm considering a moment like 12 years or more. Tears are flowing from eyes like torrents of rain, and I'm feeling all vacant in the world in your absence. So we could say here he's feeling separation. We can say that's a feeling, crying, what is it? He's crying in spiritual happiness. He's feeling the separation from the Lord. And that's contradictory. It's like actually a way of meeting the Lord. Okay, so that is, we can pray. We can serve. We can pray to the Lord, to the Guru, to the devotees, previous acharyas, that they kindly bless us so that we may come to that platform where we actually say, praying, crying in the separation from the Lord. The end of the purport here is mentioned other, well, the devotional service that it eradicates is mentioned here also, and without such service, how can the consciousness be purified? Full purification is when our love for Krishna is fully awakened. And then the other processes that also does purifies the heart, but not to the same degree, and maybe become overcome by material desires. Whereas pure love of Krishna as described here, you will not be overcome by material desires. And then, so in the end of the purport, it stated, thus by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, one should ignite the blazing fire of loving service to the Lord and burn to ashes the network of material illusion. So we can say, through the Guru Parampara and through the tradition is coming down the system of sitting down, narrating the Bhagavatam, discussing the Bhagavatam, hearing the Bhagavatam, and in that way awakening our love of Krishna. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he asked Ramananda Roy to give some verses describing the perfection of human life. And Ramananda Roy gave a few verses, started, but Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was not satisfied. Even Sarva Dhammam Paritya, Mamekam Saranam Raja. I don't know what it was. Too much renunciation. It is not for me. So they go further. Then Ramananda Roy recited this verse from the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam, 14th chapter, verse 3. It's a prayer by Lord Brahma to Krishna. And he says, my dear Lord, those devotees who have thrown away the impersonal devotees have thrown away the impersonal conception of life. I don't know if the devotee can have it, but in any case, becoming a devotee, you give up your impersonal conception of life, and giving up mental speculation, speculative knowledge as a mental speculation. And we can also maybe speak about materialistic speculation, whatever speculative process is. They say, perfectly fine. They can and then it says, and therefore giving up the process of speculative knowledge, can remain situated in their established social positions. And with the body, mind, and words, they should offer all respect to the descriptions of your personality and activities. Dedicating their life to these narrations, which are vibrated by you personally and by a pure devotee. They will certainly conquer your lordship, although you are otherwise unconquerable by anyone within the free worlds. So there he said, you don't worry about changing ashram. or you don't have to leave the grihastha, you don't have to become a brahmachari either. Well, in one sense, we have to. But external designations, we can say external designations are not important. Then he says, dedicate body, mind, and words to hearing these narrations. So that dedicating body, mind, and words to the narrations of the Lord means to taking shelter of the Lord in the heart by the process of chanting and hearing. With body, mind, and words, that's sannyas. So, well, you don't have to externally take sannyas, but internally, we can say the important thing is that we internally are in a mood of dependence on the Lord. And are in the mood of wanting to serve the Lord and please the Lord and satisfy the Lord. Then, and we are willing to use body, mind, and words for that purpose. Well, that's sannyas, because that's we used to say the three dandi. Actually, our danda is four dandas or five dandas, depending on. But in any case, it's a symbol. We dedicate body, mind, and words to the service of the Lord, so that you don't have to take sannyas to do that. You can just say internalize that mood of service to the Lord. Dedication, and that way progress in spiritual life and conquer the unconquerable one, Krishna. And then you may cry. You conquered him, but he may make you cry. The gopis were crying also, so you may feel the separation. When we met, then maybe we have a stronger feeling, desire, and then we may be more inclined to cry for this in the separation of the Lord. Yes, so Prabhupada gave us this, we are given through ISKCON, through Prabhupada's kind grace and mercy, this institution wherein whatever else is going on, in the good temples, in the most temples, you have the Bhagavatam in the morning. So if you can't do anything else, you can't come. In any case, you're living in the ashram, that's not a problem. If you're not living in the ashram, to come, sit down and hear the Bhagavatam. And if you listen nicely, they will ask you to speak also. And at one point, you may have to speak yourself, after inquiry to speak yourself also. And in this way, we can say our tradition is kept alive. It's a living tradition wherein the devotees read and study and realize and share that with others in a formal way in the Bhagavatam class or other, or informally. Prabhupada could also have said, well, now there's tape recorders, there's tapes. We put on a tape with Prabhupada every morning. Of course, but sometimes we do that also. But Prabhupada wanted us to speak ourselves as well. And in that way, mature further in our spiritual life. And then we say, okay. It was mentioned here that I met Prabhupada in Germany. And it's true and not true. It's Vanu I met. Vani Vapu. It's Vani I met in Germany is Vapu I met later in Sweden and in Paris and in Germany also, in London, like that. But in the beginning it said, if the Prabhupada said something, a vague memory stating that it's come from Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, that if you hear nicely, you will be able to speak nicely. So therefore, whatever else you can do, sit down, hear nicely, take in, get purified, and eventually be able to speak also. And in that way, meaningfully engage in devotional life and spiritual life and progress. And in due course of time, we will leave this world behind, thinking of Krishna in the association of devotees. Hare Krishna. So maybe I have some question or comment. Let's see, I read the verse here again. Katam vina ruma harsham travata shetasa vina vina nananda sru kalaya sudyad bhaktya vinasyaha. If ansayas do not stand on the hand, how can the heart melt? And if the heart does not melt, how can tears of love flow from the eyes? And if one does not cry in spiritual happiness, how can one render loving service to the Lord? And without such service, how can the consciousness be purified? Okay, Hare Krishna. That is a question. What?
How to melt the heart?
Put some fire under it. What is, maybe that is what we do. Chanting and hearing. Hare Krishna. Association of devotees is another. In the third canto, Bhagavatam, Kapila Dev says, he speaks, or there's something mentioned about association with like-minded devotees. Of course, hopefully, we take qualified association as far as we can. Okay, Hare Krishna. Okay, I end here. We end here. Nice to see you all. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Bhagavatam ki jai. Thank you.